Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by founder of the Social Media Church Podcast and good friend DJ Truong. DJ, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Nils. It's so good to see you again, and it's great to be back on this podcast. Great to be back to life.
Yeah. So you recorded the first, I think, 108 episodes or so of the podcast, and you have been a ministry hero of mine for so many years, and we have been friends. I still remember meeting you. I got to be the second interview on the podcast, and then we met over ramen noodles there in Southern California, and we have been good friends since. I would love, as we start this podcast, well, and we talked about you recently on the podcast, as you've gone through some mental health stuff. I would love for you, if you're comfortable, to share a little bit what you went through, your history with mental health, and maybe even what you would hope church leaders would understand about mental health.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to talk, share a bit about my personal life. The past 5 months, I've gone through an episode of pretty heavy depression, and it's taught me a lot of humility and dependence on God in a whole new level. And it was desperate dependence on God, and learning to take better care of my body and wait on the Lord, and other things that I'll be blogging about at demystifying.bible. That's the domain name. And the book will be titled Demystifying Prayer. And I found a more engaging way for me to pray to God, or is to talk with God. And I want to kind of open my prayer journal over the next 30 weeks to share that with people. And I'll touch on a bit of my mental health struggles in there. But my aim with the book is really to help people see that they can talk with God using everyday language and not that spiritual Christianese language. And I think that will make God more accessible to people, as he has become more accessible to me too through this journey. And in terms of mental health, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder 17 years ago after a stressful transition out of the pastorate into normal vocation. And since that time, I've had to get counseling and medication to manage the mood swings. And the mood swings not only affect your emotions, it affects your thinking. And so it really impairs you in ways that you can't help yourself. But there are some things you can do in the midst of that. And so I did what I could do in terms of taking care of myself, letting go some of my commitments, and asking people around me to pray for me and to kind of keep an eye on me. And so during stressful transitions is typically the trigger and the thing that starts me into a season of depression. So, because most of the time I can manage it okay and be functional and be what I feel normal. But once in a while, maybe once every 3 years or so, I hit a season of depression. And so this past February, I had an episode, a manic episode that actually brought me into the psych ward. So I had a 5150. That's a once in a lifetime experience. And then, this one was totally blindsided me. So there wasn't an obvious trigger that was stressful, but it came as my body was adjusting to something, or no particular reason at all. But it took me through this journey of 5 months of depression. And so I do see that God has given me a platform over the years for blogging for 18 years. And for having launched a podcast, I kind of know how to use social media to get my voice out. And I want to be using my voice to advocate how the church has a vital role in mental health. And what I'll do is I'll send you a link that Saddleback Church has put together in their mental health ministry to help church leaders start mental health ministries. It's a starter kit, really helpful for churches and pastors to understand, well, how do you care for people with mental health? And basically, bottom line is just to care for them. The church is the best place for people who struggle with mental health to find community and to find support and to get prayer. And when someone's struggling with mental health, what I say is I could use all the help I can get, physical, medical, counseling, whatever.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, DJ, we, this community loves you. You know, I remember when I was going through physical health issues and you prayed for me on this podcast. We prayed for you on this podcast as well as you're going through. Your wife, was incredible. You know, the way she kept so many of us updated, on your situation. We were praying for you. And
that was done through Facebook.
It was all done through Facebook and the community. And honestly, it's so much that community. And I'm guessing that even maybe even half of those people you might have never met face to face, but have a very real community around you from your 18 years of blogging and building relationships online. And so we are glad to see you on this side, and we're grateful too that you, in your transparency, are helping others and helping helping ministry leaders, helping individuals, and it's a space that so many of us are just unaware of. And honestly, we just don't talk about it. And so you have led other conversations. You've led this conversation in social media, in churches. You've led the conversation around the Asian church in America, and the movement of God there. And then you're now leading, you know, and using your platform and your experiences to lead this conversation. And so we're excited to see where that goes. And so there will be a link to demystifying.bible in the show notes. So we hope you all will go there and just continue to track what DJ is doing with that. And I think there's going to be so much that you can learn around that. Continuing to catch up, you released a book, which was a series of blog posts, I guess, within the last year, multi-Asian church. Is that what it was?
Multi-Asian dot church. I used the domain name for the book title.
Yep. Multi-Asian.church. Can you maybe speak to what that was for those that might not be aware, and what's happened since releasing that book?
Sure. Multi-Asian.church was released last October 2016, and it is a book about next generation multi-ethnic churches led by Asian Americans, or composed of mostly Asian Americans. And what's special about Asian Americans, particularly what's called second generation, those born in the U.S. but have Asian descent, Asian parents, is that they have a bicultural background, and that allows them to navigate the nuances and the differences between multiple cultures innately, because they grew up in two different cultures in a way that most people that grew up in one culture don't have that innate skill and that ability. And I think that's a gift to the church. And I've been able to track the trend on that for about 10 years, having worked with a private foundation that supported Asian American Christian leadership, and then working with Leadership Network, which was looking for innovations in kind of the multi-ethnic church. And so I captured a lot of learnings and shared some research I've done along the way, and also gave some real life examples of what these churches look like, what you'll experience when you go to one of these churches. It's a little different. And one of the things I like to say is even the Bible is sensitive to contextualization. And part of the reason we have four gospels is each of them is contextualized to a different audience. Yep. And that helps us to see a fuller picture. And I think the multi-Asian church is a unique picture of the kingdom of God that can reach people that wouldn't be reached otherwise.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you are involved in so many different things. And so I would love to, and what I want to get into too is what you're doing with American Bible Society, with the .bible domain that you've been working on for so many years now behind the scenes, and now we're seeing it really develop out. But I want to get to that. First, I want to talk about what we're talking about here, social media church. You started the conversation, it's probably been 4.5-5 years ago now, that you started this conversation. A lot has changed in the world of technology and social media. A lot has changed in churches. I would love to hear your thoughts on what surprises you in where it's gone, maybe even the last year or two, and what disappoints you, what excites you. Like, what are you seeing as you're watching this continue to develop, and what are you feeling around it?
Well, I feel overwhelmed, and there's no way for me to keep up with it. So now it's everywhere.
That's hard to say for you.
The treadmill is moving way too fast.
Yeah.
And it's become more professionalized. Hmm. Those are kind of the two things that stand out to me. One of the things I got to do here at socialmedia.church was I got the .church domain name the first day it was available.
Yep.
And switched over on the first day. So that was pretty exciting for me to yep. be part of the innovation of all these new domain extensions, yep. like .church, .club, .coffee,
yep.
.faith, .life, .media, and .bible. So there's all these different categories now that you can get a meaningful domain name to point to that. And I think it's a great opportunity in social media to connect call to actions to yep. domain names instead of these shortcut URLs.
Yep.
It becomes that much more meaningful and that much more brandable. The social media space is certainly dominated by Facebook right now. Yep. And Twitter's still trying to figure out its place. And then we've got some other niches like Tumblr and Snapchat. Yep. And Instagram, yep. which is owned by Facebook. Yep. And so it's going to be around for a while because some of these networks have figured out how to monetize it
yep.
To have an economic engine because everything else is free to the user.
Yep.
And the scary part of it is that there's so much data being collected about our lives on these social media platforms. And probably the most obvious one that came to my mind was how Facebook Messenger has become more and more a yep. part of how we communicate, not just person to person, but even at work. So Facebook yep. has a version specifically for the workplace.
Yep.
And what is Facebook doing with that data? Yep. Even though it's supposedly private messaging.
Yep.
And so one of the nice features on the mobile app from Messenger is you can send a private message that's encrypted from your device to the next device. So Facebook cannot do anything with it.
Yeah.
And they even built in a self-destruct feature so that the other person can't use it against you.
Interesting. So it was an interesting language you just chose to use of this is scary. And so you're a guy that is very out there with technology and social media and I still remember when you used to send me your like tracking code in your phone where I could see how fast you were driving down the highway. Is for you to say that it's scary is kind of alarming, you know? Should other people be scared? Because some people are, you know, have always said, oh, like you're overthinking this. It's not going to be used against you. And then, you know, maybe it is something we should be a little more...
Well, I kind of say scary in a more flippant way. I'm not scary in the sense of it's affecting my behavior.
Yep.
And by the grace of God, I haven't had identity theft, even though I'm pretty public with a lot of things that I do.
Yeah.
The two things I do that maintains my personal security, at least I think helps to maintain my personal security,
yeah.
never posting or never putting my social security number on a digital thing.
Yep.
And then secondly, I don't put my birth date on anything. So even my Facebook birthday is fake.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I mean, if you think about all these people that are using Facebook and wishing each other happy birthday, yep. that's a point of vulnerability. That's a personally identifiable information that's often used for verifying someone's identity. And I think that's a huge gaping hole that... Yep. Over a billion people are just voluntarily giving up to Facebook. And
interesting.
That's
do you get to have two birthdays then? Do you get to have your Facebook birthday and then you get to have your regular birthday?
Exactly.
No, that's just a good idea for just some good encouragement mid-year is have a birthday at a different date than your birthday because your Facebook birthday is probably half of your birthday as people wish you there. Happy birthday. That's an interesting, I hadn't even thought about that. Now I realize I have a vulnerability there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I might have to go change that. Even though Facebook already has it and they're going to track that. That's interesting. Anything with online church in particular that you see any trends that has your attention around kind of the sphere of online church?
It's becoming okay to do live streams.
Yeah.
So churches are now realizing it's a good tool to outreach and it's a good way for people who are traveling or away from the home base but want to still stay connected to the community to be part of the church? Because the fear against online church and against live stream used to be, this would be 10 years ago.
Yep.
10 years ago till maybe 2 years ago.
Yep.
Was if we put up a live stream, then people won't come to church.
Yep.
And that has not proven to be the case for in most situations. And statistically, people are saying that even the committed Christian or the active Christian only comes to church twice a month.
Yep.
And so if we can make more of church available 24/7 yep. to where people are at, it actually increases engagement, not decrease it. Yep. So, that's an encouraging sign. I haven't been able to track how many churches are online doing online churches or live stream. I did update my list. I've tracked over 700 now. So I know there's thousands out there, and maybe they're not real good at publicizing their online campuses is what I'm realizing. But one of the reasons for that is because the more viewers they get live stream, they have to pay for the bandwidth.
Yeah.
So they don't want to be in my index.
You know, I think what's funny about that though is that it's pennies. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. In comparison to parking lots, new chairs, mm-hmm. air conditioning, you know, to physical attendance, but it just perceived differently. And that's interesting. You know, I remember when your list was less than 100, you know, as mm-hmm. you're building that list and to hear how it's grown. I think we probably both agree that list is probably over 1,000 just in America now, mm-hmm. and growing every day. And Facebook Live specifically has made this so accessible to be able to stream your services and build mm-hmm. community around that in such a natural way. Well, let's shift to what you're doing with American Bible Society and the .Bible domain. You started with them 4 years ago mm-hmm. When, you know, top level domains were kind of this bizarre, what is it? And now you're seeing, you know, here in New York, I see .NYC everywhere on stuff. And so you're really starting to see that trend just now. And you're obviously an early adopter in so many new technologies. Catch us up on what's happening with .Bible and what you're seeing and developing around that.
Yeah. So I started with the .Bible top level domain just over 4 years ago. And it took a couple years just to work out all the processes and infrastructure and policies to launch. And yep. so there's quite a bit of behind the scene underground kind of work that yep. needed to be done. So it took a handful of us 2 years to prepare all of that.
Yep.
And then the last 2 years was just working out our grant program and our processes on operations of how do we provide these .Bible domains to the public and to the world. Yeah. We're very grateful for a partnership we have with the United Bible Societies, which is over 200 Bible societies around the world in thousands of languages. And they've been launching unique websites with language.Bible domain names that have a specific Bible reader in that language. So people can directly go to Greek.Bible and read the Greek Bible. So it just shortens and gives people immediate access to digital resources without slashes and without acronyms and things that are hard to remember. It's made it easier to remember. And then this year we're turning up the next phase, which is marketing. So one of the things with technology that some people don't seem to understand is building the technology is only one third or one tenth of the work.
Yep.
Two-thirds or 90% even of the work is marketing, helping people understand the technology and use the technology. Yep. And so that's where we're shifting our energy, and we've gotten some outside help to do that. And so we want to help your listeners to understand what .Bible domain names can help your ministry and your churches with. And so we're thinking of use cases on how to use .Bible domain names and fleshing them out and looking for some of the early pioneers to use them. And so typically when people think domain names, they just need one.
Yep.
That's the perception.
Yep.
But I think in a digital world where people are getting bombarded with so many messages. Multiple domain names can be used for multiple purposes. Yep. And to give instant access to different things, whether it's a campaign for Easter, a landing page for a sign up, a call to action that brings someone to the page instead of bringing someone to the homepage and having to navigate menus,
yep.
or bringing someone to a church domain / keyword.
Yep.
I mean, that just makes it harder to remember.
Yep.
And so domain names helps people to get instant access to digital resources.
Yep.
And we're beginning to see a new use case in the church world, and it's with church plants. So we have two churches, harvest.bible and redemption.bible, that are using it as their church website because they're church plants. And so their church name, Redemption Bible Church, is using redemption.bible as a domain. Harvest Bible Church is using harvest.bible as their domain name. So that's a great way. That's an easier way to use it when it's your primary domain.
Yep. But
there's also secondary uses that churches can be considering.
Yeah, I love it. And I pushed when I was at Community Bible to get community.bible.
It is still available,
I think.
Yes, it is.
And so I just want to put a little peer pressure on my friends still at CBC who I'm friends with, but have not made that decision yet. I would go get it. I think it's a good one. Or if somebody else wants it, I think it's a great opportunity to build community around the Bible for somebody outside of Community Bible Church to use. That's a domain that I personally wanted to grab.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a question for you, DJ. How many domains do you personally own? Do you know? Can you off the top of your head give a, or even a round?
A dozen. I'm not into buying a bunch of domains to maybe cash in on them. There are people that do it professionally.
Yeah. They're
called domain investors or domainers.
Yeah.
And there are people that buy thousands of domains and sit on them for years.
Okay.
And they sell them for thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. But
yep.
I'm not into that.
Okay. So I would not consider myself a domain investor, but I am a domain addict, my wife might say. So I have about 80 domains that I buy, because every time I have an idea, I feel like an idea is almost useless without a good domain. I personally own a lot of domains, and I would let them roll off every 2 years. So if I haven't used them yet, I think they're so valuable. And I think beyond, you know, a church beyond just their one domain, it can be very valuable to have multiple. I think about a use case of at CBC where, you know, at Hillsong, where mm-hmm. we get a church, they give away free Bible to new believers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not use Hillsong.bible and just mm-hmm. people to go get that. Everybody in the church can go get a digital version that's really unique to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think there are so many cases for the local church, I think for every ministry. And it can just be even a simple landing page that then integrates with a reading plan on YouVersion. I think there's mm-hmm. lots mm-hmm. of possible integrations and connecting points of ways you can use a domain. DJ, I would love to hear, are there two or three favorite use cases that you've seen around the .bible domain thus far?
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
So I see free.bible is one of my favorites that I've seen that YouVersion is using, yes. I believe.
Yes, they are using that. Free.bible is the quickest way to get the Bible app.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But my favorite use case, I think, that will be revolutionary for churches is the churchname.bible.
Yep.
And I think if someone were to build a platform to make that easier to implement, that will help it to take off. But right now, the big idea is every church used to have the Bible in the pews.
Yep.
But everybody now has a device, a mobile device.
Yep.
And so if the pastor were to stand up Sunday morning and say, open your device to churchname.bible and follow along with our Bible reading or follow along with my sermon, he has concisely in 140 characters or less, just invited everybody to engage a Bible in the same version the pastor is preaching from instantly. No apps to install, turn on Wi-Fi in your church, and then people have to use their data plan.
Yep.
And I think that will revolutionize how churches and communities engage with the Bible, because you can instantly get people to the Bible experience you want for them in worship service and then during the week too.
Yep. Well, that is a challenge for our developer friends. That's a challenge for our local churches. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has to be a real complex situation. I think it can be as simple as setting up a simple blog. Mm-hmm. And then that domain drives to the top post within the blog. And each week it's just a different connected right to the mm-hmm. sermon. Mm-hmm. I think it can be done simply, but I think it can also, from a developer perspective, mm-hmm. Somebody can create a simple CMS for churches to utilize that, integrate with the .Bible domain system. If somebody were to, so practically, I'm a GoDaddy guy. Is there a best place to go and buy a .Bible domain?
Yeah, the quickest way to get a .Bible domain is to go to get.bible.
Get.bible. There you go. Yes. Get.bible. So using a domain name to get the
call to action. The call up to action is built in to the web address.
Yes. Yes. I love it. Well, DJ, thanks so much for taking the time to share and catch us up on everything in your world. Any other thoughts as you have pastors' ears all over the country or world right now that you want to share with them around .Bible, around social media, around ministry?
I'll use the hashtag SMC podcast. Would love to see more feedback and chatter about social media church on social media. And I really commend Nils and Jay for having taken this podcast to a whole nother level. And congratulations on your 100 episodes that you've recorded and posted.
Thanks, DJ.